الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعاشروهن بالمعروف صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and of course our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receivers, we are almost going to enter the Mubarak month of Dhul Hijjah. It is such an auspicious month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to take a qasam, an oath, on the 10 days, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, or the first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. Allah has taken an oath on Fajr, on dawn, and on the 10 nights, the first 10 nights, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi reports, a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which he has mentioned, and from this we can understand the importance of performing righteous deeds during these 10 days, ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيها أحب إلى الله عز وجل من هذه الأيام. There are no deeds done during these first 10 days that are more dear than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any other time. أعمال صالحة done in the first 10 days of the Hijjah are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Sahabi then posed the question, Ya Rasulullah, ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله؟ What about jihad? Will ibadah done in righteous deeds done in these 10 days even supersede jihad in the path of Allah? Rasul said, yes. Except if the person goes out and he becomes a martyr, he becomes a shaheed. On the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, Arafah day, of course, whichever country we are living in, whichever day it is the 9th, not necessarily we have to follow the same Arafah day this year, whenever Arafah day will be there in Makkah and Medina. So on the Arafah day, we have been exhorted to keep Roza. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever fasts on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, then all his past years sins and the future years minor sins are all forgiven. The minor sins of the past year and the future year all are forgiven. And from this we can understand again how great and how sacred, how auspicious these days of Dhul Hijjah are. And of course we know the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Qurbani. During these days, it is mentioned one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that one should increase his recitation of Tahleel, La ilaha illallah, Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Tahmeed, Alhamdulillah. Simple dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, I would like to just focus a bit on the farewell pilgrimage or the farewell khutbah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered in the plains of Arafah. And we have a nikah also today. So the message is also given in that farewell pilgrimage about rights of women, etc. So in that momentous khutbah, which is known as khutbatul wida'a, it was the last khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some scholars have mentioned approximately 80 days thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi left this world. A very great occasion. Imagine the Sahaba assembled before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I counted the number of advices he had given, mentioned in the different ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that discuss this farewell khutbah. It's approximately plus minus 40 different advices Rasulullah delivered. And he caught the attention, he drew the attention of the Sahaba, he mentioned, Isma'u qawli. Listen to me attentively. La adri, I did not know. La'alli, la alqaakum ba'd aami hadha. Perhaps I will not meet you again. And amongst the important guidelines that he laid out for the entire mankind, for the Muslim Ummah at large, the beautiful advices that he shared with us, he instructed us, the principles that were laid down, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted, he concentrated on the fact that the life, the honor, the respect, the dignity of a believer is sacred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa a'radakum haramun alaykum ka hurmati yawmikum hadha fi shahrikum hadha wa fi baladikum hadha. Sahaba knew the sacredness of the day of Arafat. They knew the importance of Dhul Hijjah. They knew the importance of Makkah and its surrounding areas, Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafat. Rasulullah said that a believer's life is so sacred, like how today is so sacred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how the month of Dhul Hijjah is so honored in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like that, the life of a believer is so important in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His property is sacred. His honor, his dignity, his respect. Rasulullah SAW highlighted a lot about akhlaq, having good character. Equality. Islam obliterated, destroyed racism, prejudice of any type of sort, any kind of prejudice. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to the Sahaba, "Inna abakum wahid, your father is one, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Your deen is one. There is no superiority, virtue of an Arab over a non-Arab." ليس لعربي فضل على عجمي. Nor has a non-Arab have any superiority over an Arab. Even a fair-skinned person does not have any superiority over a dark-skinned person. ولا أحمر على أسود. A dark-skinned person does not have superiority over a fair-skinned person. So Rasulullah explained to the Sahaba, he emphasized on this point of equality. If there is any superiority, then it is based on the virtue of taqwa. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most noble of you in the eyes of Allah is the one who has most taqwa. Rasulullah also abolished interest, taking of interest, usury, and many other important things. But amongst the things that he chose to speak on that day and draw the attention of not only the Sahaba who were present, but to the entire mankind. Because in the end of that khutbah, what did he say? Ala hal ballaghtu? Have I preached and have I conveyed this message? When the Sahaba all agreed, and they all said, Ya Rasulullah, you have conveyed the message. Then he made Allah his witness. Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad. Oh Allah, you bear witness. And he mentioned to the Sahaba that those of you who are present must convey this message to those who are not here. Many times we have these guidelines and these rights printed on a frame, kept in our offices or at home. Have we ever pondered over each guideline there? Have we reflected upon those things? So Rasulullah mentioned then, Istawsu bin nisa'i khaira. That I give you advice of being kind to your woman folk. Allah Rabbul Izzat mentioned in the Quran, Wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'roof. It is as though Allah is interceding on behalf of our wives. Allah is addressing the husbands of this world, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and deal with them with love and care. إِسْتَوْسُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا. In one hadith, Rasulullah says, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. The one who has the most perfect iman, the one who has kamil iman, complete iman, is the one who has best character amongst you. The one who has best character. وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. And the best of you is the one who is most kind to his wife. In one hadith, Rasul says that one of you intends to strike and beat up his wife in the beginning of the day. She's made an error. She's made a mistake. And now the husband loses himself. He behaves like an animal. He begins to beat his wife like the beating of a slave. And Rasul says, in the end of the day, what do? You go and share the bed with her to fulfill your desires. In other words, is that fair? Where is our sanity? Where is our akhlaq? لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة. A mu'min should not despise and look down and disdain any mu'mina. A husband should not look down upon his wife. إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. Perhaps some weakness she's got, but look at the other good qualities she has in her. She has left her home, her parents, her brothers, her siblings, and she's come into your home. It is as though she is in a bondage now. فَإِنَّهُنَّ عَوَانٍ عِنْدَكُمْ. They are like slaves now. Meaning now you should be taking care of them. What does a woman require? What does a wife require? She wants that love, that affection from her husband. She requires that smile from the husband when he leaves home in the morning, and the smile upon his return. Is that asking for too much? How many of us come with a smile, or how many of us return home with a frown and be too busy? This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and many other of the wives of Rasulullah sallam explained that after Ishraq, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was his sunnah that he would visit all the homes of his wives. He would visit each one of them, make salam, smile at them. He would sit and discuss with them, make them feel happy. And then he would remain in the house of that wife whose turn it was for that particular day. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Rasulullah showed so much of love and affection that he would make me eat first and drink from the goblet first, then he would look for where I put my lips and then he would drink from the same spot. He would shave my miswak at times. At times he would call me in the diminutive form. Her name was Aisha. And he would call her Ya Aishu. Out of love and affection. Oh Ya Humaira. Oh one who has those red, rosy cheeks. Showing her love and affection. He would ask them about their well-being, their health. He would actually take the broomstick. And he would sweep the house, the Nabi of Allah. That Nabi, who was the greatest of all Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, we claim that we are following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallam. When last did any one of us take the broom at home and begin sweeping and helping our wives? He would be occupied at home in helping, assisting his wife. The love and affection, the bond he had, that the time when he passed on, when he left this world, he had placed his Mubarak head on the chest of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the cool saliva that came out of his Mubarak lips fell onto her chest. She said, she mentioned, I could feel the coolness of Rasulullah's saliva on me. I knew he was now gone. He found time even, of course, with full hijab in parda, when no other person was around, he found the occasion to run a race with Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. In the beginning years, when they competed, she beat him. Later on in life, she says, I gained some weight. When we had this race, Rasulullah beat me. Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, the first wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would even after her demise speak so often about his Khadija, that one Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha couldn't take it any longer. And she said, I didn't even see Khadija because I was very small in Makkah. Khadija was much elderly. But I couldn't take it at all the time. Khadija, my Khadija, Khadija. And I mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu, is there no other wife beside Khadija? Rasulullah became a bit upset. He says, it was Khadija who brought Iman in me when everybody rejected me. She stood by me, she supported me when everybody turned their backs to me. Aman Nabi, wa kazzabani an-nas. And she bore my children. So he would slaughter an animal and make pieces of that animal and send pieces, those parcels of meat, to the friends of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who were living in Medina Munawwara. Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, on one occasion, she's traveling with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the horse stumbles, the camel stumbles. She falls off the animal. She's slightly injured. She's the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mother of the believers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately goes to see. He attends to her. He kneels down. It is mentioned in the kitab that he actually begins to wipe off her tears from her cheeks. Then he asks another wife of his to lend her an animal. Then very gently he makes a mount on that animal. This is a lengthy incident. We've just mentioned this point only. What is the point here? The bond, the affection, the care, the love. This is what our wives require. Making salam as we leave the home. When we enter, we make salam. Sharing the food. They require us to praise them. To appreciate the work that they are doing. It is so easy when we return home that the food must be ready. And everything must be ready for us. If there's any delay, then immediately we become upset. May Allah give me tawfiq of making amal. All of us. His advice is for all of us. And those who will be getting married, inshallah. So love, affection, the care, appreciation. This is what she wants. What she doesn't require is physical abuse. Mental torture. All the time we threaten him that I'm going to leave you. And I will get married to another woman. And I won't divorce you. I will leave you suspended in this way. My respected brothers and elders, this is not Sharia. This is not what Quran and Hadith speak about. This is not the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, this has become very common. Extremely common. Some of the cases, when it reaches us, we cannot understand that a human being could ever do such things. So she doesn't want to be abused in any way. She does not want to be belittled, humiliated in front of people. There are so many ahadith and so many incidents in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that illustrate to us the care, the compassion, the love, the akhlaq that he showed to his wives. He once tells Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, O Aisha, I know the time when you are happy with me and when you are angry with me. She says, how do you make so? He said, whenever you are happy with me and you make dua, Allahumma Rabbi Muhammad. Oh Allah, the Rabb of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever you are not so happy, then you say, oh Allah, the Rabb of Ibrahim. Then you don't say the Rabb of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You say the Rabb of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says, yes, you are right. Wallahi ya Rasulullah, ma ahjuru illa ismak. The only thing I have done, I have not mentioned your name, but I haven't taken you out of my heart. My heart is filled with your love. They could not even bear the day when Rasulullah would leave this world and they would have to remain alone without a husband like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My respected brothers and elders, so on the farewell khutbah, this point about looking after our wives, istawsu bin nisa'i khaira, was highlighted by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I mentioned in the beginning, this farewell khutbah was such a sermon that Rasulullah gave right at the end of his life. And these were principles, guidelines for all of us to bring into our lives. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal.